This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth, and happy Easter to you. Christ is risen. What a fantastic time of the year as we walk together as the body of Christ through this liturgical season, the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And this week, I want to take a look at the testimony and the witness of the apostles. Each day at Mass, we're given in the first reading sections from the Acts of the Apostles, which is that first proclamation, the precious witness of the apostles. And I want to look at it. Began yesterday, friends. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them right there on the computer or download them and listen to them on your iPod whenever it's convenient for you. It's beautiful and it's inspiring to just read through the testimony of the apostles. It's inspiring as they declare the truth to what they know, what they have seen, what they've touched, what they've heard. They're giving personal and direct first-person witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the witness they give ends up costing them their lives. It begins here with Peter, but we know the other apostles as well all became martyrs, all but John, as I understand, St. Paul as well. And the witness is a very simple declaration, a proclamation of the reality that Jesus of Nazareth, Mary's son, was crucified, died, and was raised from the dead, that he's alive. Not only that he's risen from the dead and that they saw him, they ate with him, they touched him, they saw the beginnings of the glorification of Christ. His full glorification, of course, would come as he took his place at the right hand of the Father. But they saw the future. They saw what comes after death for those who die in Christ, for those who walk in God, those who want God, those who love God. Remember that passage we all know so well, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. All of this happened, what Peter gives testimony to, because God the Father loves those he has made, those who bear his image. That's every single person, every man, woman, and child, made by God, made for God, destined to live with God forever, destined to share in God's glory. But all of us, as we've talked about many times in the program, we know because of the sin of the first Adam, we all die in sin. We fall in from the destiny and the glory that is ours, and we're separated from God. And we need God to act to save us. And this is God's action of salvation. And we'll hear the apostles talk about the fact that this is the only means of salvation offered to the world. Friends, there's all kind of counterfeit messiahs in the world. All kinds of people claim if there's life after death, everybody's going to go there, or there's reincarnation, or everyone's going to be saved anyway, right? As I just mentioned. The apostles make it clear because Jesus told them. They know what's real. They're not just listening to a prophet. They're not just conjecturing. They're not paying a guru to give them information about what comes after death. They know what comes after death. What comes after death is Christ. Jesus Christ risen. What comes after death is either Jesus' kingdom or the kingdom of darkness. That's it. And the church possesses this good news, this offer of salvation for the human race. And with great urgency and love and passion and zeal, she takes this message, following in the footsteps of the apostles, she takes this message to the world because she knows what's at stake and she knows the precious gift that she possesses and that her Lord has called her to share. We ended yesterday's show toward the end of the section in Acts chapter 2, where Peter, he's just gone through talking about Jesus, you crucified him, God raised him, death could not hold him down. He's the fulfillment of the prophecies given to David, of the eternal reign of King David. Psalm 110 was quoted. Psalm 110 is the most frequently quoted psalm in the entire New Testament. And this section from 110, Peter uses right there in that first proclamation. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make all your enemies a stool for your feet. Where is Jesus today? Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And all power and glory belongs to him. And he wants to give each one of us who are listening today a share in the glory and the inheritance that belongs to him. Maybe you're listening to the program today by accident. You stumbled onto it. Maybe you've been a regular listener, but you aren't a follower of Jesus. You're not baptized yet. I want you to hear the words of Peter today as if he's sitting with you, if he's speaking to you, what he knows, what he's seen, what he has touched. He wants to tell you. He wants to declare to you. And yesterday's reading ended with this. This Jesus God has raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this which you see and hear. Of course, this is the day of Pentecost, when Peter had just come from the upper room where he was with Mary and the other apostles, and the Holy Spirit which Jesus promised, he said, I will clothe you with power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you shall be my witnesses. The Holy Spirit is given by Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And the Holy Spirit is the founding gift of the new covenant that God makes with us. It's a covenant in spirit where we become literally born again. We become children of God by virtue of the power of God. And the Holy Spirit is the soul which animates the whole body of Christ. We'll hear later St. Paul in his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, when Jesus says to Paul, 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 why are you persecuting me? Paul was persecuting the body of Christ. Jesus is the head now of a new race of people, his body. And the same life pulsates through all of us. It's his eternal life. It's the life of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is the first agent of mission, empowering the apostles to go forward and to begin proclaiming the gospel. And as Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is the one who guides us to all truth. And he's guiding the apostles to proclaim this particular message in power and this truth. The apostles are making a truth claim, friends. They're not making a meaning claim. They're not just saying, hey, this is meaningful to me. This is a kind of spiritual thing I believe in. They're saying, no, we are literally eyewitnesses to an historical fact, and we declare it to you. And it's that same Spirit that sanctifies the church through her sacramental life and through the scriptures and her preaching. So now the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding the church, and the apostles are the first that the Holy Spirit is thrusting forward into the life and the mission of the church. So that's where it ended yesterday, and then it's picked up today, a little further on in that section. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said to the Jewish people, let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Who is Jesus? He's Mary's son, the man from Nazareth. He's the one who went about proclaiming the kingdom of God, and God backed him through signs and wonders and confirmed his preaching. But you killed him, and we're here to say that God raised him up. Who is he? He's Lord and Christ. Why was he raised up? Because he is the fulfillment. He is the actual Messiah that we've all been waiting for and anticipating. And God now has raised him. And in raising him, God has confirmed him. God has established him as Lord and Christ. This is the witness of the apostles. Not just that Jesus was raised, the miracle of his rising, but who Jesus actually is. He's the Lord. That's the same word, Greek for what? For God. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's of the same nature of God. And literally all power and authority in heaven and on earth belong to Jesus Christ. Peter will say, as he said, the church had us read on Sunday, that great testimony, the proclamation of the kerygma that Peter makes to Cornelius, the first proclamation of the gospel to the Gentiles. And he tells Cornelius and his household, he said, Jesus has commanded us to proclaim that he's the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Friends, final judgment on all of human history is in the hands of Jesus Christ. What we call good, we're going to find out, is not so good. Some of what the world declares as good, or as what the world declares as glorious or valuable or important, or who is important, and who should take center stage. Friends, Jesus is the one who knows the truth about everything, including every human heart. And he's the one with all power and authority who's going to judge the living and the dead. So that's what it means when Peter says to all the representatives of the 12 tribes of Israel who gathered there on Pentecost. He's telling them, friends, not only did we see him rise, but we know who he is. And who he is God's Lord and Christ. He's the anointed. Christ means Messiah, which means anointed. He's the one anointed with the Holy Spirit. And Peter's going to say to them, what you're seeing today with this outpouring of the Spirit in the beginning of the last days of human history, when God will pour out his Spirit on all flesh, Peter is saying it comes from him, from Jesus the Messiah. So God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now he goes on. This is the central truth he's just proclaimed about Christ at the heart of Christianity. And now he's going to talk about how you become a Christian. He said, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and they asked Peter and the other apostles, what are we to do, my brothers? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is made to you and to your children and to all those who are far off, whomever the Lord our God will call. He testified with many other arguments and was exhorting them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 persons were added that day. Here's what it means to respond to the witness and the proclamation of the apostles. He said, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Friends, if you're listening today, and this is maybe new to you, or you heard it once as a kid, or many times as a kid, and you've been far from it, and you know something is stirring in your spirit today, that's the Holy Spirit, whose job it is to cut you to the heart, to give you conviction, to shed light about the truth of what Peter's proclaiming. Jesus Christ is Lord. And they said, those who were cut to the heart said, Peter, what should we do? And here's what we should do. We should repent. Repent means change direction and move toward God. Be God-directed. With our heart, soul, mind, and strength, say yes to God and God's plan and purpose for us and acknowledge our sin, our condition of being separated from God and being dead in sin, as Peter and the apostles will teach us. And then it says, and then be baptized. Romans chapter 6 is a great chapter to meditate on when he talks about being baptized, literally entering in the waters of baptism and dying with Christ so we rise with him. Every one of us, the old man in us has to die, and we die through baptism, and we're given the new life, the life that belongs to Jesus. The life of the Spirit is given to us, and we're baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. And Peter says, then you will receive the Holy Spirit. Friends, this is the essence of Christianity, of passing from death to life, repenting of our sins. Remember, Jesus told the apostles in Luke's account, the post-resurrection appearance, first time he's with him, he said, friends, I will clothe you with power. You will go forward to proclaim to the world the forgiveness of sins. Jesus wants us to have our sins forgiven so we can be made pure and clean by him, and he can give us his Holy Spirit, and we can become a new creation. This is the heart of Christianity. Friends, I encourage you, lay hold, grab a Bible, chapter 2 of the Acts of the Apostles, and just meditate on this and ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart to it and to burn it into your heart and mind so that you can share it with others. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.